Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Whiffler.
Good morning. Or actually, who knows when you're listening to this, but it's morning here.
It is early morning here. I know we've mentioned this before, but we always have to record super early so that...
Before the babies wake up.
The little adorable kiddos walk in. Well, today we are doing something different than we've done before. We are doing kind of an interview style show today, and we'll be talking about traumatic birth. And Laura has actually experienced a traumatic birth. And I know we maybe mentioned on one of our birth plan episodes a while back that we wanted to address this topic, and that's what we're doing today. So, for those of you who have been through a birth, and maybe you're not even ready to classify it as traumatic, and maybe you already have, but we hope that this is a blessing to you.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to be, I don't know if you said this explicitly, Emily, but Emily is interviewing me for the traumatic birth thing today. I feel a little bit nervous to kind of like be on the hot seat. I mean, it's not really any different than normal, but it feels like, you know, I gotta deliver today.
Yes, well, we hope that this delivery will not be stressful for you, Laura.
Thanks, Em.
So today we want to talk about this. So Laura, before we get started... I think there's probably a lot of women out there who are like, what is traumatic birth?
Yeah.
Does it mean that, you know, you had a life-threatening experience when you were delivering? Does it mean, you know, that you had an emergency C-section? You know, like, what does traumatic birth mean?
Yep. Yeah. So it's interesting because it's really, I went after... I sort of started to figure out, hey, this is kind of, I think, what happened to me. I went onto the Birth Trauma Association's website, which was actually really helpful for me, and I'd never known any of this stuff before. And it is really based on the mother's experience of the events, regardless what happened or what other people thought happened. But it's really the mom's perception, which was helpful because I think for me, I didn't have like this classic story, this like maybe near-death experience or where my child was, you know, really sick or something crazy was happening, or I was rushed to, you know, have a surgery or anything like that. And so that was helpful for me to hear that it was kind of on based on my experience or the mom's experience. And then there are tons of triggers. A few that I'll just list that I related to was lengthy labor, poor pain relief, feelings of loss of control and personal treatment or problems with staff attitudes, you know, lack of information, not being listened to. Those are just those are the ones that I personally identified with, but there are a lot of others. So I think, that I don't know, with traumatic birth, it's one of those things that it, you know, technically they would say like 25 to 34% kind of a weird stat, of what moms are affected by this. So I don't know why that's such a weird number, but it's a decent amount of women, you know? And, I think like no matter what, we all have questions after birth of like, did I make the right decision there? Or did my husband or did the doctor make that right decision? Or could there have been an easier way that birth could have gone? Or, you know, could it have been better? And we all wonder that. And I think that that kind of this show hopefully will touch on some of those things as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, even though like I don't think I would... you know, consider any of my like deliveries traumatic. Like I certainly can relate to those feelings of like disappointment in some areas or, you know, evaluating some of the decisions that the doctor made or, you know, the way that somebody treated you. And it's really interesting. I know you've mentioned to me in the past too, and I've even experienced this of maybe like receiving some drugs after birth that can kind of change your memory of what happened. And so that's really interesting too, how you're mentioning sometimes people that go through like very, you know, intense events can.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
They don't even really remember necessarily.
Yeah. Once I was like kind of decompressing with my midwife, almost, you know, like a year and a half later, I was telling her and I was kind of figuring all this stuff out. It's crazy. We'll get to that. But she actually said, you know, Laura, a lot of women who experience crazy births that, like, you know, everyone is like, oh my word, how do you even ever want to give birth to a child again? They have, you know, yeah, drugs that have memory loss in them. And so a lot of those women are like, yeah, it was really terrible, but they don't really remember it. And so it's funny because I didn't get any of that. And I remember, I mean, 3 years later, I remember a lot of the detail. And so that is something like to keep in mind, especially if you're like, why am I struggling so much? And because you feel like maybe you didn't. And that could be the reason. And I know the plenty of friends who have had really difficult births and it truly is still traumatic. So it's, again, it's up to you know, how you have perceived it and you know, what happened, I guess.
So then for you, what were those like perceptions? What were the things that made it traumatic for you specifically? Maybe just give us a flyover of your birth story.
Okay. yeah. So I probably can't go into all the detail just to make it with time, but I think basically, I don't know, I'd been laboring at home for quite some time. And like at 10 o'clock, I went into the hospital and I was at a four. So I was like super happy, first baby, you know, don't have to go home and all this stuff. And everything was very normal at that point. And the first thing, I think the biggest thing to know is that my son was OP or sunny side up. And I didn't know that at the time and he never flipped. So I actually ended up delivering him that way, which is not really common. I think usually kids flip.
Laura and I always bond over this because I've had two babies that were OP and Laura's had at least one.
Both were OP. My daughter flipped. Yeah.
And so whenever we like talk back pain, we can fist pump each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Continue.
So, so I ended up being in labor for about 32 hours. And, I think like that was just, you know, just in general, just made me tired and, you know, whatever that is. I think a lot of people have labors like that. And then I was pretty normal, you know, for a couple hours. By midnight, I was at a 7.5. So I was starting to transition. Like, I remember my nurse was like, ooh, you're doing so good.
Yeah. Here comes your natural birth.
Yes. And I had planned for and really desired a natural birth. And so I was feeling super good. I mean, feeling really good at this point. But then about 3 hours later, nothing had changed at all. Like I was just totally stalled. And that point had been about 20 hours. But I was super against medical intervention. I was saying no to my water breaking. My doctor kept suggesting it. Oh, and that's a key thing is that my midwife was actually gone for my birth. So I had an OB that I never met, which wasn't a big deal. But I think I was kind of like, well, no, if my midwife were here, she wouldn't break my water. Sure. You know, I had these thoughts. So I said no to that for a long time. I said no to Pitocin. And they were really encouraging me, like, you need to do something to kind of move this baby. And basically we broke my water. Eventually I said yes. And nothing happened. That's typical with, OP babies, but I didn't know that. No one had told me at that point, hey, your baby's OP. This is why some of these things are hard.
Yeah.
When I got Pitocin, they basically said, you can get Pitocin now, or you can get Pitocin later, or we're giving you a C-section. Like, you better figure it out, agree to this, because your body's just too tired to birth this baby. And that was really hard for me. It really made me question my womanhood, my maternal abilities. And I felt really inadequate. I think going into birth, I was like, I can do this. I'm powerful. And, you know, drinking all the juice, I think that the world kind of tells us. And I was really bummed. And then there was just the most difficult part happened in about the span of just 10 minutes of time. And when I agreed to the Pitocin, I also agreed to an epidural. They kind of kept asking me and I said, let's just do it. Everything's out the window. Let's do it. And the anesthesiologist came in and I don't know, he was just having a bad day, I think. And he was in a hurry. He was a little bit rough with just like kind of straightening up my shoulders or things. He said a few unkind words to me. I'm not even going to repeat them, but, you know, with my signature or just my appearance and I don't know, wasn't really the greatest bedside manner. And I remember just thinking like, did I dream that? Like, did he just say those things? And my husband confirmed them later after birth. So, I don't know, but the hardest part about that was that the epidural never worked. So I remember just feeling this sense of excitement when I finally agreed to the epidural. I was like, okay, everyone tells me this is God's gift for a woman's curse. And I was like,
I think I might have told you that too.
I'm pretty sure it was you, Emily. I'm pretty sure. I mean, a lot of women have said it, but I had that ringing in my ears.
Yes. And then, here it comes. Here comes the big relief.
Yes. Like I will be able to sleep. You know, you hear people wanting to sleep or watch TV.
Yeah.
And No. It didn't work. And the nurse anesthetist, I kept telling her, hey, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. She kept rolling me over. Long story short, a couple hours of this, of back and forth, no one really advocating for me. At that point, I was sleeping between contractions. I would just wake up and have a contraction and fall back asleep. I felt so alone, and I felt so angry at the nurse anesthetist and the anesthesiologist. I had a lot of blame in that. And I just felt like no one is advocating for me here. You know, I felt my poor husband had no idea what to do or say. And I felt like I was crazy. Like I was making all this pain up in my head because she kept telling me, no, it's working.
I think that's the part of your story that is like, oh, just like so gut wrenching for me, because, I know that like at least two of the times that I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I want the epidural, like had it not worked, like I was on the verge of like, you know, exactly what you're talking about of like, I literally am like terrified to experience, you know, another sharp, painful contract. Like, I don't know what I would have done had that relief not come. You're just counting on it. And I think it would have been very scary and helpless to feel like in pain and nothing can do anything about it. And I'm just like,
exactly. I feel like that was the moment that I just felt like I realized my humanity in a way I don't know. I was really close to my mortality as a woman, as a person, and the frailty of my existence. And I think it was the closest I've ever come, like you said, to realizing my complete and utter helplessness in life. In my
so scary.
I was so hopeless. And I just remember saying to my husband, just let me go. And, you know, that's so dramatic now, but I meant it. I wanted whatever needs to happen to get this done. I need to be done. I don't care how it happens to happen. And so yeah, that is kind of the tipping point for me that made it, I think just a lot more difficult to recover from.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. I know you've mentioned on some of your blog posts about the anesthesiologist, and maybe we could get in more into that, and kind of that was something you had to go back and process and forgive later. And I know only one time in my last birth, you know, my anesthesiologist said something to me on his way out about like how I, hoping I knew how to like how kids happened. He was like, in essence, like insulting, like that I was my fourth child.
Yeah. Oh, and my goodness,
I know. I mean, it's nothing near like what you went through, but I know like in that moment I was like, did you just say that to me? Like, I hope this epidural works so that I'm not mad about this in 10 minutes. But I cannot imagine. It is so hard because you have these people and you're like super, super vulnerable around them. You're like, this is the worst I've ever looked in my life.
Exactly. And felt, and you have no control and you know, you're pretty much naked. I mean, it's really
so vulnerable.
You're just exposed. And I think I felt mistreated, and I was almost just too tired to process it correctly or to say, hey, that's not okay. And no one else stood up for me. And I think especially even just that it didn't work. That was so hard for me because I told her so many times. I feel like I'm going to get emotional now, but like I told her so many times, can you please redo it? And they just kept telling me no. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's the way it should work. So
well, you made it through your birth, and obviously it was still had difficult points after that.
Yeah.
And so kind of how did that whole situation end, and like, you know, describe, okay, you got home at first, like what were your first impressions about your birth experience?
Yeah. Well, I think I just kind of bottled it up and powered through. And I know that when my son was born, I really felt distant from him. I felt suspicious. I did not feel like the joy of beating my child made me forget the pain, as so many moms have said, which really, again, questioned my maternal instincts. And like, I felt ashamed, and I didn't tell anyone that, you know, and going home, I felt like, you know, I'm just gonna bulldoze through all of this. And I don't know what these feelings are. I'm not a kid person, or, you know, but I would start getting these sharp stomach pains. You know, as you recover from birth, sometimes there's pain. And I just remember being sent into like a tizzy of fear, and I would have flashbacks. I would tell my husband, we're never having another child again. We're going to adopt all of our children. You know, cause we had been talking about adoption at that point, and I was like, we're done. I can't do it again. And I think that really took me to, I did get through it. I did get pregnant again, because again, I was kind of a mind over matter person, and we knew we wanted a second child. And But at my 12-week appointment for my second baby, my midwife said to me, you know, hey, what's your concern about pregnancy? And I said, pregnancy? I'm scared to deliver. And I just started bawling. Mm. And that was the moment I knew, and she knew that I'd had a traumatic birth, and she actually brought that up to me. I didn't know it was a thing. But it felt so good to hear some validation and to just tell someone, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure like people feel varying degrees of fear, you know, like going into their next delivery. But yeah, as you mentioned, that kind of like intense reaction is an indicator.
It was not normal.
And maybe even like for women listening, maybe like a good indicator too of like, hey, how, even as you're listening to this or, you know, as you talk about it, like, do you feel like you have a very, very strong reaction
such
to
a
what
good
happened
question.
In your birth?
Yeah. And yes, I would totally agree.
I just thought that was an interesting observation.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're home and you're processing through this in your second pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So then transitioning into kind of Risen Motherhood's specific mission, although there are a ton of, you know, great clinical, you know, counseling type things women can do. I know on this show we want to specifically look at how the gospel impacts our mothering and even our birth experiences. Yeah. So what did that kind of look like for you? How did your trust in God like kind of uniquely play into this healing process for you?
I think the biggest, or not the biggest, but the first thing was just to be okay admitting it. You know, I think we as believers want to bring all things to the light, and sin and shame and inadequacy, pain, comparison, all those things live in the dark. And so the moment I finally said it, and I hadn't even really said it to my husband yet. I mean, besides like making jokes and laughing around, I'd never admitted it until that was 14 months later. And, but it felt so good to just get it out there. And then I think, you know, just kind of putting perspective on my suffering at a high level of just trusting that God was sovereign over all that happened at my birth, and that I don't necessarily understand to this day, you know, why everything happened. But I know that I can trust him and that he uses imperfect things, that he uses all things, you know, just to draw us closer to him and to bring him more glory. And I do think like even the fact that we're recording the show and can talk with other women. And I mean, I'm grateful because I feel like God has given me a deep passion for women who have experienced this that I would have never before even, you know, known about prior to this.
Exactly. Like I didn't know about traumatic birth until you started talking about it. And I think it's good. It's like all things, you know, like when we've talked about our miscarriage episode or, you know, other things that moms go through that can sometimes be silent pain. It's like, it's even good for people who haven't been through it to hear it and to have that kind of realization that there are hard experiences out there and we need to be like sensitive and just aware of that. Yeah. So I know I appreciate the ministry he's given you to other moms who've been through traumatic delivery.
Yeah. And I think like traumatic births or just birth, like, again, it makes us feel so vulnerable. And I really think like through that, like it represented, you know, just my deep need for a savior. And I love that picture. Like I hated the experience, but I know now like deep within me what it's like to be completely helpless. And that's how I am to save myself, you know, from my sin. Yeah. And it's just a good picture of, you know, I need help. And I cannot do this on my own. And I think it's a good, it's just a shadow of the coming of the King. And so I love that too.
Yeah. And I'm sure like in that moment, you know, when you do feel helpless, you, it suddenly is real that, hey, like nothing earthly is providing any help for me. Like of the things that I was trusting in, like my nurses or my doctor or my husband or my, you know, whatever, like they can't ultimately deliver and be consistent and perfect. And that is like, that's hard. Cause a lot of times I feel like when we have idols in life, we don't ever get to that point where we truly realize like, this is a dead thing. It's not, it doesn't have the power to do what I'm asking it to do.
Exactly. And I think I had to remember that like when sin entered, like imperfect, painful births, you know, like became a reality, part of the curse, and like But at the same time, I can just look at my son today and like know that God granted me grace. And like, there are so many other things that could have gone wrong. And there are so many other bad things mm-hmm. that could have happened. But I have my beautiful son. And there were other ways that like God gave me grace in the childbearing of having my husband by my side the whole time. And I don't know, Em and I, we've talked about these mm-hmm. on some other previous birth episode of all the ways that you can find God's yeah. grace, especially as a woman giving birth, you know, in the, what do we say? The modern era or whatever.
So. Yeah. When I wanted to touch back on just this forgiveness element too, mm-hmm. because I know that I have not experienced it to a very large degree, but I've had little things that I look back on. I'm like, oh, why didn't, you know, this person advocate for me more? Or why didn't, you know, my doctor make this decision or whatever? And just kind of that element of being willing to, you know, forgive, not say, hey, it's all okay, but yeah. to validate it and then say, but I'm going to forgive them. Yeah. How did that experience work for you with some of yeah. the people that you felt like weren't, didn't do their job
yeah.
well?
Yeah. Forgiveness was a huge piece of it. And I think for a long time, like I did blame that anesthesiologist and the nurse anesthetist, and I felt, very wronged and hurt. And, you know, I mean, first of all, just looking as, you know, how can I be the first to judge? You know, I'm imperfect. I have bad days. I make bad decisions. I treat people unkindly, sure. you know, kind of the whole, I've been forgiven. I can forgive others. And I think part of that healing process came about too. My midwife just suggested that I write a letter to mm-hmm. the hospital staff and let them know. And you can read more about that on the blog, but, I think that was a huge part of my healing, was just to like get it out there, not in a complainy, you know, crazy way, but just to kind of let them know what happened. And I ended up asking for those two particular staff members to not service me in my next birth. That was like mm-hmm. a request put in there. And I think that gave me a lot of peace. I know this is kind of more on the practical side, but it gave me a lot of peace of like, I can forgive them and move on, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I have to use their services again necessarily. And yeah. So I think working that out in my heart of just like, again, God was sovereign over that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I can learn from that experience by not, you know, having them with me next time, and let the hospital staff know they want, you know, they're customers. Yes. They want us yeah. to have a good experience. And so I actually ended up getting a call from the head of anesthesiology at that hospital. And he gave me his home phone number and said, you call me if, you know, when you go into labor, if you want me to come do it myself, I will. And it was over. I delivered on New Year's Eve, you guys. And so this guy was willing to give up Christmas or on my due date and say, I'll come in and service you myself, which I like, it was so sweet and so kind. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, it wasn't necessary, but it was certainly a really neat thing that came out of it.
Yes. And I just love those personal things that the Lord does for us to, when I feel like we're going through a healing process, and like, I don't know how many times I've had something like that where you're yeah. like, there's no explanation for why like this person or this thing is like being so kind and so gracious to me. And
yeah,
just like only the Lord knows how personally like healing those things yeah. can be. Yeah,
I know. It was funny because I didn't even take advantage of it. Uh-huh. I told him, no, but it was pretty cool. You know, yes. it was like almost just the offer was what I needed or exactly. whatever. So,
okay. So if there's woman listening who is processing this and she's listening and she's like, wow, I think maybe this is me and maybe I've had a traumatic birth, or maybe she already knows she's had a traumatic birth mm-hmm. and she feels just stuck. What would you kind of say, from the perspective of another believer, you know,
yeah.
kind of one sister in Christ to another?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think first, you know, no matter who you are, I would validate you all day, you know, and I think like, yeah. just to remind you that you are not crazy, that no matter what happened yeah. to not stuff that down. But again, like I mentioned at the beginning, to bring that to light, that is where we want to be as believers. And, it's okay to mourn that experience. It's okay to process it and to say what happened. And then also I would just say that, remember that like it's our deepest need that brings us to the Lord, and, that this in this kind of like we were talking earlier, like we can find shadows of just like of the coming redemption of our mm-hmm. Savior and just like what our need is for him. And so looking at that from an eternal perspective, mm-hmm. I know that that doesn't necessarily like heal exactly what happened in that moment, but I think it gives us just good perspective and hope mm-hmm. on, you know, what sin does and why we need Jesus. Yeah. And then I would just also remind them that to get professional help, there's nothing wrong with that. I ended up mm-hmm. having some counseling through my doula and my midwife. I didn't actually see like a counselor, but they were awesome. And we talked through it back and forth. It was so good with my husband in the room. And I think that that is a really important part. And to remember, this was my midwife. I so appreciated this. She just said, remember your birth, that traumatic experience doesn't define any subsequent births. You know, it doesn't mm-hmm. define you as a woman. It doesn't define your maternal instinct, you know, your ability to be a good mother. I think mm-hmm. that was something that I needed to hear, is that like our culture so emphasizes, you know, pride as a woman and having these great births and, you know, however that looks, but like epidural mm-hmm. or not, natural or not, but like you got the one you wanted, you know, and, mm-hmm. There's that shame that comes with feeling like you didn't do it, or you weren't woman enough. And, mm-hmm. you know, the reality is we can't do anything on our own, that we yeah. aren't enough on our own. It's Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross that bridges that. And so, mm-hmm. I would just, you know, remind, you know, whoever's listening that feels this way, that like, that is not who you are, and it doesn't right. define you as a mom. And just to remember your identity in Christ and who he is and what he's done for you.
Yeah. And I think we've tried to talk about this on previous episodes, of just like when we are identifying ourselves with an experience or with an expectation that we had, or with something we didn't look up to, you know, sometimes the answer to that isn't to like analyze the situation to death, but to learn to turn our eyes to Christ and to exactly. look at who he is and to worship and remember that ultimately it's not about our story. We want to validate it, like Laura said, and heal from it and talk about it, and then turn our eyes to Christ and learn to worship him in the midst of really hard things. And so,
yeah, I think that's a really good point. And just to one last thing, but of just saying you don't have to analyze it to death or figure out all yeah. the whys. I still don't know why. And I had to move on from that and let that go, because I don't think the healing will come yeah. unless you can just say, I give that to you, Lord, as a yeah. mystery of God, you know, just that as someone who maybe has experienced that, you know, letting those questions go of why did I have to go that way, or why did, mm-hmm. you know, he or she do this at that point and stuff.
Well, this was awesome. And I think that anyone listening, I would think, can relate, that's had a baby, because as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, like, even if you haven't had what would be considered a traumatic birth, we all have disappointments with birth yeah. and things that are difficult to work through, and comments that someone made that were hard to hear or whatnot. So yep. I hope that, you know, this was helpful, and Laura and I have been and will continue to be praying for those of you who have been through this.
Yes.
So
yeah,
we totally. Will make sure that our show notes are loaded with resources for you guys, yep. As always. And all of Laura's things that she's written, because she's written a lot on this. So if you're wanting more, definitely go there. Yep. Anything I missed there?
No, I think that's good.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again for listening. Leave us a rating and a review if you'd like. That's awesome for us and awesome for getting the word out about Risen Motherhood. Yeah. So.
Thanks All for right. listening, guys.
Yeah, bye.